morning, and thank you for tuning in on KBUR News Radio, 99.3 FM and 1490 AM from First Christian Church of Burlington, Iowa. This morning, we start in the midst of worship with our children's moment with Pastor Peggy Stott sitting with the children of the church.
I invite you to find your seats. As you're doing so, we invite the children of the church to come forward and join Pastor Peggy for this morning's children's moment.
Good morning. Oh, you did that without me even prompting you, Matthew. That is great. Are you all enthusiastic this morning? Yeah, good. I am too. I like being here for you. Does anybody know what tomorrow is? New Year's. Okay, and so today we call New Year's Eve, right? Because it's the day before. And what do a lot of people like to do on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day? Party. Celebrate. Yeah. So they wear funny hats. I've got this one on. Do you like to wear a funny hat? No. And they blow horns, and I forgot to bring a horn this morning. Anybody want to be the horn? You want to be the horn? Okay, give us your horn noise. Honk! Good job! I'm proud of you. We got our horn this morning. Well, another thing that a lot of people do on New Year's Day or around New Year's is make resolutions. Do you know what a resolution is? What is it? That's right. It's something you want to do by the end of the next year. You want to do something different in the new year. And so people, especially adults, a lot of them say, I want to lose weight. I'm going to quit eating so much chocolate. And do you have a resolution that you say you're going to do? No. I'm going to exercise more. And you know what happens? They say that. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, it's like, for me, I'm not exercising. I'm eating that chocolate. And I just kind of forget all about it because it's hard. So I thought this year, instead of making some of those kind of resolutions, I would do something different. See, here we are today. Look, this is the old day. That's today, the 31st of December. And here's the new day tomorrow, January 1st. And we say Happy New Year because we have a whole new year ahead of us. This is my calendar, the one I have on my desk for last year. Look, all the stuff I wrote in there that I had to do, and I did it, it's really messy. But look at this new one. This new one, nothing in it. Well, I do have a dentist appointment in March written down, don't I? Yeah. So I thought I would do something different with my calendar this year. At Christmas, my granddaughter gave me this bracelet. You want to come and see it? See, it's got this infinity sign on it, which means forever. And then she put a little bird that had G on it for Gran, and then K on it for Kendra. And she said, this bracelet is to help you remember that we are going to be friends forever. Well, that made me think about Jesus. And that Jesus said, I want to be your friend forever. So I thought, hey, my granddaughter and I talked about some things we're going to do this year. She wants to come up and teach me how to make the special candy we love, and she wants me to teach her how to do banana bread. So I'm going to spend time with my friend and my granddaughter. So I thought, I should spend some time this year with my friend Jesus. I could set some goals, and I could put them on my calendar. So what are some things that we could do with our friend Jesus? Come to M&M? Come to church? What about pray? We could pray. That's time with our friend Jesus. How about some real easy things like, I won't sass back to my parents because Yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? Because if Jesus is right there, why would I do that right in front of Jesus, who's my friend? And I will always do what my teacher says right away because my friend Jesus is with me. No, those are things that we can do with our friend Jesus. We can give people a smile when it looks like they're feeling sad with our friend Jesus. We can hug our grandparents so we can tell our parents we appreciate them. We can say thank you to people. There's lots of ways that you can do things in the coming year with your friend Jesus. And so that's what I thought I would do this year. I would put it on my calendar. You know, in Eminem, we studied about when God put the rainbow in the sky. And he said, this is to help you remember that I keep my promises. Well, I thought rainbows would help me remember and you remember to keep your promises to be a friend to Jesus and let Jesus be a friend to you. So I thought today I would give you each a fresh new calendar page of January and a rainbow pencil so you could write your things you want to do with your friend Jesus on it. You're welcome. I appreciate you all being here. So shall we pray? Lord God, thank you so much for each and every one of these beautiful, precious children. We ask you to bless them and bless us all in the year to come and help us all to remember to be your friend and to allow you to be our friend forever, that we can do things together in your name. We ask this in your name.
Thank you for listening to this week's Message of Hope from First Christian Church here in Burlington, Iowa. We hope that this week's message helps you grow in your faith and share God's love. This week, our Associate Pastor Will Ryan continues our winter standalone sermons with scripture from Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40, titled What's Next? Stay tuned after the message for music and to learn more about First Christian Church of Burlington.
This morning's scripture comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. Here begins the reading. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of two turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said it to his mother Mary, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worship there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It had been a long journey, not in miles, but in time, in physical exhaustion, emotional exhaustion, and just overall tiredness. While an over 50-mile trek from my hometown to the town of my ancient and distant relative was the first, we had to travel back home before we could make this trip. The first time we walked, she was about to birth. So uncomfortable in her own body, so tired from trying to feed two with the meager bread I could purchase from my carpenter wages, so sore from having to get up and down from that donkey, too heavy to stay on for too long. Miserable is one way to put it. Pregnant holiday travel is another. We then had the miracle. Though it didn't seem like a miracle at the time. How can a miracle be when there is so much pain? How can it be a miracle when people can see what's about to happen, but they won't even let us sleep in the lobby? How can it be a miracle when the only warm place we can find is a stable where we are kept warm by the heat of the breath of cows? How can it be a miracle when there's so much blood and screaming? How can it be a miracle when I can't do anything but sit at her side and tell her, it'll be all right, keep pushing? But it was. It was a miracle. Upon seeing that child's eyes for the first time, I had no words. The exasperated breaths of my wife did not stop, but her cries turned from pain to happiness. The tears of agony turned into tears of joy. When we held that form in our arms, still wet, still bloody, but not attached anymore, all I could think of is those words spoken to me many months ago, at least those words that were like a dream. Do not be afraid. I turned to Mary, our eyes locked, and we said it together. Jesus. We had visitors, but it was all a blur for me. I was too focused on much to care on this gift. I didn't care that it technically wasn't my boy. He was my son. I was going to raise him. I was going to love him. I was going to teach him. He was my son. He was all I could look at. The trip home wasn't easy, but it was easier. Mary was able to ride all the way home, no need to get off and on over and over and over, but she was always clutching that baby boy close to her, stroking what hair had not fallen off yet, protecting on his head still that not formed saucer. But here we were, 6 weeks later, back on the road again, as it were. We were dead tired from all those nights, those endless nights of crying, hungry crying, sad crying, angry crying, crying for mom, crying for me, crying just to cry. Waking up in the beginning of night, the middle of the night, just before dawn, you would think a miracle baby would learn the miracle of a full night's sleep. But I guess Yahweh must have a sense of humor. Anyways, we were tired. Tired but glad. We decided to raise this child right, to raise him in the traditions of my elders, raise him in the tradition of the temple. There was never a more important time to do this than now. What with the Romans trying to squeeze us out of our way of life. We had already tried to revolt twice, failing each time. Who knows how long this tentative peace would last? He needed, this baby needed to know the Torah. He needed to know the law. He needed to live the way Yahweh commands. He needed to live his life in right relationship to God and to those around him. It didn't matter how poor we were. We definitely couldn't afford to give much. But we still needed to go. Still needed to make the trip. Still needed to offer two pigeons to God. We still needed to offer our firstborn son to God, as is the tradition. And so we got to Jerusalem eventually. And the first thing we did was go to the temple market and buy those pigeons. The second thing we did was find a place to stay. Now, Jerusalem is huge compared to that backwater town of Bethlehem. But I wasn't going to wait around and end up in another dang stable with cows breathing on my neck. It was nice and all. It was warm. But I couldn't go there again. Once we found an inn, Mary and I talked and we decided to try and take a nap. I said, try to take a nap. But you know how babies are. They do what they want. They have their own sleep schedule. And so after about an hour of trying, we decided to make our way to the temple so we could possibly get back to Nazareth in my carpentry business. I couldn't be gone long or else we wouldn't have any money. So we set out to that last little bit of the trip, pushing our way through the hordes of people which populated that holy city. I can't begin to tell you how crowded it is there. We have been to Jerusalem many times in our lives for our pilgrimages, but every time we do, it seems more and more people are there. More people to try and steal things, what little things we have. More people to try and hawk bad knickknacks on the streets. More people begging because the Romans had taken everything they had. More people just trying to find work. More and more people like us. More and more people in poverty. We pushed our way through and finally stumbled haphazardly into the temple. The child was quiet, no crying now. Why couldn't he act like that all the time? I turned to tell Mary I'd be right back, as she couldn't go any further in the temple. The rest was my job to do. But she wasn't looking at me. She wasn't listening. She had her head cocked at a weird angle, straining to what we'll see there in the mysterious shadow. I looked out of the corner of my eye, trying not to be obvious, to see what could possibly take her eye away from the task at hand. I couldn't see much for a couple seconds, but then I saw the stir. And what moved into the sunlight was unexpected. A man whose age was shown in deep wrinkles, milky cataracts, and ashen like hair. He rose from the recesses of the temple and moved toward the three of us with a look of determination only given when one has an encounter with the divine. I know that. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in the mirror. He was almost running by the time he got to us. And we were frozen in place, unsure of whether to turn and run or see what he wanted. What happened next was a blur, but I'll do my best to recall. He said his name was Simeon. He said he had been waiting decades and decades for our baby, waiting for the hope of Israel, whatever that means. He said God told him he would not die before he saw God's Christ, the Messiah. Simeon then did something which I could never have predicted. It just didn't happen in every day with people you just meet. He had the audacity to ask us if he could hold our precious little baby boy. Hold him. I don't even know you, I said. As I said this, though, as I talked to this crazy, crazed man, I saw Mary look down at the boy, then at Simeon, and move her arms filled with Jesus toward him. What are you doing? I hissed. Don't worry, Joe. I know what I'm doing. She gave him our Lord. She ignored every rule about stranger danger ever taught. She just trusted this man. This man we'd only just met. This man whose arms looked like they couldn't even hold himself up. She put our baby boy into his arms with the courteous, "Make sure you don't drop him." What happened next, no one could have predicted, regardless of how much spirit they have. He sang to God, and he sang to anyone who would hear. He sang about how death no longer held its paralyzing power over him because he saw our boy. He told of how he was ready to die, ready to move on, because he had seen the salvation of all peoples, both Jews like me and Gentiles like you. It was a beautiful and haunting song. Who sings about being ready for death? While we were still basking in the light of his song, he turned to us and blessed us. But it wasn't a blessing I had ever heard. He spoke of our baby falling and rising. Falling and rising. Not rising and then falling, but falling first and then rising later. What could that mean? He spoke to us about how our Jesus would be a sign that people would oppose, would hate, will do all they can to stop him. I looked at our baby and I didn't understand how anyone could oppose such a perfect child. Simeon then turned to my wife, almost begrudgingly, like he was having second thoughts about launching into this blessing. He looked into her eyes and said, and what he saw in her face was a long way off, but it was so plainly that he couldn't pretend. And so he said, "A sword will pierce through your own soul." He would rather have bitten off his own tongue than said it. But in that holy place, he felt he had no choice. Then he handed her back the baby and departed in something less than the perfect peace he dreamed of all the long years of his week, back into the shadows. He left us in awe of what he said, but more in awe of just how he was. He looked at our baby, took him in his arms, and could only do one thing, sing. As we turned to leave, we saw another elder, a woman, an old woman, a widow, a prophet. She looked at our baby with the face of expectation too. And she began to yell and to preach and to all who would hear about the hope found in our baby. She began to, what's the word? Evangelize. But we weren't there too much to hear about it. We departed for our room to try and get some sleep, whatever sleep Jesus would let us get, before we made the journey back home, back to our humdrum lives of monotony. But before I closed my eyes to try, I went to that makeshift crib that we knocked together there in our inn room where we lay him. I picked that boy up and held him in my arms like Simeon had. Looking into his eyes, I saw first the inquisitive boy he would become. Then I saw the smart, strong, determined, and godly man he would be. I saw his fall, and then I saw his rise. And as I looked into my boy's eyes, I heard the words of crazy men and old widows echoing in my mind. When I lay my eyes on that gift, I remembered the song lyrics of old from that old song that said, "Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God from heaven. Praise Him from the mountaintops. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all you His warriors. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, you morning stars. Praise Him, high heaven. Praise Him, heavenly high clouds. Praise, oh, let them praise the name of the God. He spoke the word, and there they were. He set them in place from all time to eternity. He gave his orders, and that's it. Praise God from earth. You sea dragons, you fathomless ocean deeps, fire and hail, snow and ice, hurricanes obeying his orders, mountains and all hills, apple orchards and cedar forests, wild beasts and herds of cattle, snakes and birds in flight, earth's kings and all races, leaders and important peoples, robust men and women in their prime, and yes, gray beards and little children. Let them praise the name of God. It's the only name worth praising. His radiance exceeds anything in earth and sky. He builds a monument, his own very people. Praise from all who love God. Israel's children, intimate friends of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah indeed. Salvation is born. Amen.
Hi guys, my name is Justin Livingston, and I'm the youth minister here at First Christian Church. I would like to invite all middle school and high school age kids to our youth group on Sunday nights, Crosstown High. Middle school meets from 5:30 to 6:45, and high schoolers from 6:15 to 7:30. We have a great time with Bible studies, games, food, activities outside of our church, and mission trips. We hope that all of you will come out and be a part of all the fun.
Thanks for listening to this week's message of hope from First Christian Church Disciples of Christ here in Burlington, Iowa. We are located at 1221 Park Avenue on the south side of town, in between the airport and Dankwart Park. If you're looking for a church home or looking to find a relationship with Jesus Christ for the first time, we hope that you will join us for worship this Sunday morning. We have two services every week. Our traditional service is at 8:45 a.m. and features old-time favorite hymns and a wonderful anthem by our chancel choir. Our contemporary service is at 10:45 and features our amazing band and music that you hear from today's Christian radio. Both services offer a hope-filled and challenging message for today, activities for youth and children of all ages, and open communion for all who believe in Christ. There is no better way than to begin your week with worship, so I hope you will join us. You can find out more information by going to our website at www.burlingtondoc.org, and you can like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at burlingtondoc. We hope you have a great week and share the love of God with someone today.